Welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today, I am very happy to be talking once again with Joe Pica, who is one of our Platinum Looper members who has done lots of side trips on all of the rivers. Joe's going to be talking with us about a trip on the Cumberland all the way up to Nashville, because this is the time of year where loopers are coming down the river system and may have some time to kill before they can proceed all the way to the Gulf due to hurricane season. So I'll introduce Joe in just a moment. Before I do, I'd like to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with no further delay, I would like to bring in Joe Pica. Joe, thanks for joining me again.
My pleasure.
Why don't we start? I think you're probably familiar to most of our listeners, but for those who maybe are new to our podcast, why don't you start by talking a little bit about your cruising experience and what kind of boat you're on?
We are on a Great Harbor built by Mirage Manufacturing, M37, displacement trawler. We've cruised almost 40,000 miles in the time we've had her over the last 9 years, mostly as a full-time liveaboard. We've done the Great Loop three times, almost four. We lack about 400 or 500 miles on the fourth, but we kept because we wanted to see all of the incredible side trips that you can take off the loop that if you don't have a house to go to in your full-time liveaboard, you can't stay there on your boat because things get really cold up there. So anyway, we can make a circle to get back to areas that were just rich for a blue-haired tourist like me. So in any case, one of those trips actually is the Tennessee rivers, which are just drop-dead gorgeous. All the loopers, unless they're crazy, like we did once, going all the way down the Mississippi to New Orleans, will go up on either the Tennessee or the Cumberland, and most of them will stop in Green Turtle Bay. That's at mile 31.7 on the Cumberland River, just after you exit the Barkley Lock and Day. In any case, a good side trip for you is, and I'll just, for an example, our side trip, which was a 7-day round trip up to Nashville on the Cumberland. Very simple, direct navigation. It's a well-marked river. It's one of the commercial rivers, so it's well-maintained. And you've got an easy run of about 2 days up, 2+, maybe 1.5. And it's 160 miles round trip from Green Turtle Bay to Nashville. Basically, you have 1 day at anchor behind Dover Island, which is on the way up since you're going against a current. Generally, the currents on these rivers are not necessarily extreme unless they're flooding. If they're flooding, you don't go. You kind of stay put. And then after a day or two, the crest passes, then it goes down to normal because they're moderated by the locks and dams. And you only have one lock. And that's a Chatham lock and dam to negotiate. That's a big commercial lock with floating bits. You pull into the chamber, you put the lasso on the floating bits, and you gently go up, same difference coming down. The river, the first stop would be a very strategic for a slow boat like us. We do 8 miles an hour. And Dover Island Anchorage, which is mile 90.5, and that is on the left descending bank. If you think of looking at the river going downstream, the river is descending. And if you're on the left side of it, that would be the left descending bank. And that's the way you geolocate many things on these rivers by referring to them by their statute mile and their left descending bank or their right descending bank as to which side, because they twist so much that north-south really doesn't do anything for you. So in any case, getting back to this, that's about a 60-mile run, a little bit less, from Green Turtle Bay. So that's a good day. And it's a very easy anchorage. It's Dover Island. It's well charted. It's deep. You pull right into it, behind it. You're protected off the channel from anything and everything. And it's a nice, pleasant place to, even from weather, a place to spend a night at the anchor. Your next stop going up the river is the Clarksville. Clarksville is really a charming little town, and I'm sure we've all heard that, at least in my age, Last Train to Clarksville, it really had nothing to do with Clarksville per se, but they like the rhythm or the euphonics of the term Clarksville, so it worked in the song Last Train to Clarksville, but they actually did, the Monkees did film some of the video for Last Train to Clarksville, actually, in this little town. And the town is charming and has a lot of history, dating back to the 1700s. Has a lot of really fine statues and fountains. And very, very nice. Very, very beautiful town. Has a customs post office museum that's right there by the docks. And they had McGregor docks, which were the first docks, and those would be on your left descending bank as you get to Clarksville. And those were a free courtesy dock. The only problem with that, now they've developed a harbor just up from that, upstream a little bit, still on the left, on the left descending bank. So it's a literal marina. And just like in the terms of any marine, it's very affordable, like all the marinas are on the river, but it's totally protected from the current. So it's a great place to go now to visit and stop for the night in Clarksville. Get yourself a T-shirt that they sell, Last Train to Clarksville, and enjoy that really, really pretty town. It borders Port Campbell, by the way, 101st Airborne. But it's not
so,
like
Joe,
a military town. I wouldn't be supportive.
What's the mileage? So you said the first night you'd probably do the anchorage, I think you said that was about 60 miles from Green Turtle Bay. So then on the second day, you're going from the anchorage to Clarksville. What's the distance there?
Clarksville is approximately, don't get the lie around. That would be maybe 35 miles further.
Okay.
To Clarksville. And then, and it's actually a mile 127, so we can do the math, the 90s, mm-hmm. So that's right around 37, 40 miles again. And you've got one lock in that span, so that makes it a nice, easy day, a normal day,
right,
without too much adverse time. And the nice thing about the new Clarksville Marina embayment, state-of-the-art, and the old courtesy dock, which is still there, is right on the outside of the bend of the river and flotsam. And there's always things floating in these rivers going downstream. It's just what they are. Big log jam off our bow the last couple times we stayed there. And you have to literally back it. There was too much to move, so you literally had to back out from it. But you don't have that problem now with this new marina, which totally protected, great. And now you can go into that, and even if the river is going to flood, you're totally protected, and it's all floating docks. So a great resource.
Perfect.
Now, then the next day, you're going to be basically up in Nashville. And there are two places to stay, actually three, but the two places you're going to stay are right along the riverfront in downtown Nashville, and you have to call and get permission. You know, it's just like anything else. Obviously, they charge you $1 a foot, and there's power. But you're literally at the foot of Broadway in the heart of downtown Nashville, where all the tourist attractions are, like the Grand Ole Opry. Too many places to go listen to music. You'll never see them all. You have Bicentennial Park. I mean, Nashville is a major tourist attraction, and there is too much to do in the brief time you'll be there. We stayed there 4 days and had a ball. A few places that are really, in my estimation, a must-do is if you like bluegrass at all, or even if you don't like bluegrass, you get to experience it at its best at a place called the Station Inn. And you can Google the Station Inn. And it looks like an old garage. It's a little bit off Broadway, several blocks. And it's where the world-class session players, these are the people that play with all the big names as background bands for them. And they're Hall of Fame musicians in their own right, but they don't go on tour because they want to have a family life and a real life. And so they hang out at the Station Inn at night. In a, sometimes they have regular groups come through. A lot of times it's their makeup groups. And you get to sit in this little tiny garage-like atmosphere, like somebody's sort of big basement, within 30 feet of the stage while these world-class musicians play and have a good time. And people there are serious music thinkers, and there's no smoking. They're not there to drink or get drunk or anything, although there is beer and light food available. And it's a limited audience. But it's just a great evening for 2.5 hours listening to live music from the very best. Amazing. Amazing experience. You really get the feel for what that is like with regard to that genre of music that evolved in Nashville and other locations from people's garages and basements and that kind of stuff. And it's an amazing experience. It's really fun. People
sounds like a fun
time. All over the world. Oh, yes. They come there from all over the world, and they're limited. So there's a head charge getting in there, and you're limited because it's a small place. But I'll tell you about, there's the Parthenon, which is a crazy thing that Nashville duplicated, the Parthenon in Greece, in a park in Nashville, including Athena, the statue to Athena and everything. It's kind of weird sitting right there. And you have Bicentennial Park, which is beautiful, and so it's all about the history of Cumberland and the Tennessee, I mean, as a state and history. What are the high points? And there's too many things to really mention, but everybody has the ability to search online there. You get good connectivities, so you can find out and prioritize which of the things and events you want to go to once you get there.
Right.
The Frist Visual Arts Museum is amazing. Huge visual arts museum with all sorts of featured and even certain artists and displays coming through periodically, like any other world-class museum. I guess that's about it. Now, when you finish, or whatever time you've allotted, you're done with it, you're going back downhill now. So it takes you about a third less the time going with the current to get back. So you can hit Clarksville, and from Clarksville you could probably make it all the way back to Green Turtle Bay, if that is indeed your destination. And this is a good,
and that's where you would pick up that's where you would pick up the Great Loop route again, is when you get back to Green Turtle Bay, basically. So that's kind of the starting and ending point of that side trip.
Yes, exactly. And you're going to see a lot of topography going up. So you have high gloss hills. Potentially, depending upon the time of year, you'll get a lot of leaf peeping. Leaves will be starting to change, and it'll be a nice, gorgeous ride.
Exactly.
And then coming back, you have the opportunity, if you don't want to go back to Green Turtle, you just cut through the divide and continue up into Kentucky Lake, to one of the many places you could stay on your way up the lake, to Pickwick Lake or Wilson or Wheeler, if you're going to Joe Wheeler's. And so this is really a trip that you want to think about doing. If you're early down there and you're killing time before the rendezvous at Joe Wheeler's, and you want to do something other than sitting in Green Turtle Bay Resort or Kent Lake or one of the other really fine marina facilities, take this trip. It's nothing like you've experienced coming down the Mississippi or up the Ohio with the problems with the locks and dams. This is more what real fun river cruising is involved. It's just wonderful, and the Tennessee would be a good trip for you as well. And I but want to get beyond myself.
Let's take a quick break here. I'm going to play a message from one of our sponsors, and then we'll come back and just kind of wrap up what we've talked about the Cumberland River, and just get any final thoughts from you. So we'll be back in a moment.
The new MJM 50Z is the most technologically advanced production motor yacht available. First worldwide to incorporate a Seakeeper gyro stabilizer as standard equipment to virtually eliminate roll in waves underway or at anchor. And in June 2015, the first to include fully opening power windshields for control of fresh air flow. MJMs are unique in the industry, built of environmentally clean, stronger and lighter epoxy composites in the USA. Owner benefits are significant: a smaller carbon footprint with 50 to 100% better fuel efficiency, a top speed with optional triple IPS 600s of 40 knots and cruise of 35 knots, a more responsive, enjoyable driving experience, and greater safety offshore. For more information, visit them on the web at www.mjmyachts.com.
We're back on Great Loop Radio. My guest today is Joe Pica, and Joe is filling us in on one of the many side trips of the Great Loop, the Cumberland River, and taking that all the way to Nashville. Joe, you've kind of given us the overview of the trip up to Nashville and back, and I think one of the things that you really highlighted is that it's a very easy side trip. There's not a lot of locks, not a lot of commercial traffic, and the entire trip there and back can be a week or so. Of course, you can stay in Nashville for quite a while if there's plenty to do there. You and I have talked about the fact that loopers are kind of coming downriver and they may have some time to kill, whether they are waiting for the rendezvous at Joe Wheeler State Park, which is about a month away still, or some of them may be waiting to proceed further south for insurance purposes. So as we always do, we encourage loopers to check with your insurance company or check your policy, because there may be something that prevents you from going too far south until November 1st or sometimes later because of hurricane season. So while you are waiting around, you've got plenty of time to do some of these great side trips there on the river system, and the fall is a great time to do it because you have the beautiful fall foliage. So, Joe, we've talked pretty much in detail about the Cumberland, but we also kind of briefly mentioned the Tennessee River, and we don't have a lot of time to go into the Tennessee River in great depth, but, of course, you can take that all the way to Chattanooga. Just kind of tell us, what our appetite's a little bit of why we would want to do the side trip on the Tennessee River.
The key features of the Tennessee River, and it's a short one up from Joe Wheeler's, by the way. But in any case, relatively speaking, but in any case, one of the largest attractions is the Great Rift Valley, which is a 30-mile cleft of a 2,000-foot mountain formed by an earthquake way back when. So you're approaching Chattanooga, and you're twisting and turning in this river, and you're looking at 2,000-foot bluffs on both sides of you, and it's amazing. It's just mind-boggling. And you can't see this from the road, so you're not going to experience that kind of view. And particularly if you're going up after Joe Wheeler, the leaves will be starting to change, and it's just magnificent. Chattanooga is a magnificent boater-friendly city. They put over $200 million into their waterfront developing it. It's got magnificent aquariums, magnificent waterfront parks. It has a historical, on the other side, a historical carousels. There's a pedestrian bridge that they hold festivals on. It's just it's a lot to do in Chattanooga, and that's a big star. And you continue up the river, and there's Decatur, and there's several stops up river, but the whole point is going up at least to Chattanooga to experience that Great Rift Valley. It's something you'll never forget, and it'll be one of your highlights. Beyond that, there are many places to stop, many places to anchor, and many very, very inexpensive marinas. You've got major cities other than Chattanooga, such as Ditto Landing in Huntsville, Alabama. Huntsville, Alabama is a major city. I consider any major city to have a Costco and a Sam's together. and major airport as well. You can fly in and out mm-hmm. of these. And the marina is excellent. There's several others going up further up. You get to Gunnersville, Goose Pond Colony Bay Resort. I'm sure they've got to be more expensive than it was when I stayed there, but $25 a night, and that included the use of the courtesy vehicles. And that was all included.
Well, and so it is worth the trip up the Tennessee River. As Joe mentioned, Joe Wheeler State Park, where the Fall Rendezvous is a short trip up the Tennessee. And as Joe also mentioned, beyond that is Goose Pond Colony. And we are actually holding a one-day event there. We're kind of calling it a mini rendezvous. We know that Joe Wheeler sold out very quickly and that we had some disappointed members because of that. So we're repeating a few of the seminars from Joe Wheeler State Park at Goose Pond Colony Marina. So we'll cover in great detail, as we do at the rendezvous, the route sessions to get you from the Tennessee River. I think we're taking you all the way to Fort Myers in the mini rendezvous, which is actually October 22nd. So it's a couple days after the big fall rendezvous ends. But we are encouraging those who can't make it to the fall rendezvous to go to our website at greatloop.org and register for that shorter event to at least get the route information that is helpful to get you to the Gulf and then across the Gulf and down to Fort Myers. And Goose Pond Colony is a sponsor, and we appreciate that. So we're looking forward to being at their facility October 22nd. So, Joe, thank you for sharing some of your very vast knowledge about the side trips. We appreciate that. And I know you've presented on both the Tennessee River and the Cumberland River at our fall rendezvous in the past, and we hope to have you back again. I'm sorry, at our spring rendezvous. I tend to get those backwards. The fall is the one coming up shortly, obviously. but the spring rendezvous is where Joe's joined us a few times to give some seminars on these side trips that he has done and knows very well. So, Joe, thanks for joining us and sharing that information.
Oh, you're welcome, Kim. It's my pleasure. I just really am enthusiastic in hoping that more loopers take advantage of this incredible opportunity to see this. They may not come back through, really grab it, because you will not regret it. Nobody that's done these side trips regrets them at all. You only regret not doing them. Of course, you may not.
Very well said.
Goose Pond Colony is a very, very nice place. I mean, it's a resort. There's golf courses, mm-hmm. all of it. It's a good spot. Very, very nice. And it's a good jump off point to do that, to go up the chat.
Perfect. Great. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. And for our listeners, we appreciate you joining us again this week. We'll be back next week with another episode of Great Loop Radio. Until then, safe cruising.